David French is our guest, and we're talking about religious freedom on campus. David French is the director of the Center for Academic Freedom of the Alliance Defense Fund.
The Center for Academic Freedom was formed for a very simple reason. College students across the country are losing their most basic constitutional rights. No one is losing their most basic constitutional rights more frequently than Christian students. A recent study found that of all of the major faiths in this country, professors had the most negative view of evangelical Christians, with 53% of professors stating that they had a negative view of evangelicals. The second closest group to evangelicals in that negative view were Mormons, and they were more than 20 points behind evangelicals. And so what we're dealing with is a situation where the university campus, for whatever reason, has decided that evangelicals are particularly disfavored. And that manifests itself not just in peer pressure, snide comments, mockery, and run-of-the-mill social factors like that. It also manifests itself in actual illegal behavior, actually silencing Christians, actually forcing them to do things that are against their conscience, actually removing Christian groups from campus. There's a huge, huge need for legal protection for Christians on campus. Our goal is essentially to facilitate the campus ministry of ministry groups and to facilitate the religious expression of individual Christians. We're not out there trying to dictate what an individual Christian will do with their religious liberty, what campus ministries will do with their religious liberty, but we want them to know that they should not feel constrained, that they should not censor themselves out of fear of punishment, that they can exercise the full range of their rights. And if anything happens to make them limit their speech, to limit their ministry, that we'll be there to help. And we've really had remarkable success by God's grace so far in this. And time and time again, universities have backed away from stances that honestly they know are illegal. They are doing them only so long as people don't challenge them. And then when they're challenged, so many times they're backing away. And when they don't back away, by God's grace, we've had a lot of success in winning in court and vindicating the rights of college students. And those court victories resonate across the country. They can cause us to avoid having to fight elsewhere because a university will pay attention to a court outcome and not even try to censor, not even try to exclude.
Whether or not there's been an increase in discrimination against Christian groups on campus, students are becoming increasingly aware of their legal rights. David French has worked with more than 24 InterVarsity campus groups over the past 8 years, and only 2 of those cases have actual legal action been filed. That's always the last resort.
I almost always believe it's an appropriate first step to talk to the administrators first. If you're not being permitted to hold an event, if your recognition is in jeopardy, sometimes that happens because of a bureaucratic snafu, not because there has been an actual act of discrimination. So, you know, I think that particularly for staff, particularly for student leaders, to go to administrator and object to the treatment in a firm but kind way, and ask that the administration respect your rights. I think that's an appropriate way to do things. Then the second thing is ask for help. Don't think that you have to shoulder this burden by yourself. You're not a lawyer. Even if you read up on this, the chances are you don't know all of the full extent of your rights or the full extent of the limits on your rights, because there are some that exist. So ask for help. InterVarsity, Ralph Thomas, the general counsel at InterVarsity, has dealt with these issues, and then he also will call us if the issue is growing more and more serious. So go to the administration. If that doesn't work, ask for help. If you are unsure of what to do, ask for help before going to the administration. There is certainly no shame in seeking help sooner rather than later. But in general, I know that InterVarsity has always wanted people to try to work things out at the local level before it's escalated to legal demands or ultimately a lawsuit. It's not that anyone's afraid of or intimidated by a lawsuit. It's just that so many times these things can be resolved without legal involvement. But again, you should never hesitate to seek help. My general view as a lawyer is that there, although I'm in an oppositional stance with them, there's no way around that. I am. The way that I can still treat them in a Christ-like manner, I can respect them. I can give them the benefit of the doubt when it's warranted. I can, on numerous occasions, I've had opportunities to interact with lawyers in a way that I felt was different from a way that a lawyer who is and not a follower of Jesus would interact. But at the same time, there's no way of getting around that we are in opposition. And often, particularly the university lawyers and sometimes university administrators don't have any particular love for the legal side. But what I've found, and this should be an encouragement to staff and to students, is that one of the great things, one of the great services that we offer is transference of anger. University officials will tend to transfer their anger at a situation to us, to the lawyers involved, and often continue to view the students and the staff favorably. It's remarkable how that will happen. I have had many cases where by the end of the case, I had a quite good relationship with the university's lawyers, with the Attorney General's Office of Estate. So it's not inevitable that things have to go into some sort of hissing, spitting match. It's just not like that all the time. In fact, God has been very gracious in many instances to where I've actually formed friendships with opposing counsel. And that's because I'm not trying to humiliate them as people. I'm trying to protect a particular and concrete right, and I'm trying to protect constitutional rights, and not trying to extract a pound of flesh. And I think after a while people understand that. Not all the time, but surprisingly often. The preventive steps that a group can take to avoid discrimination and derecognition are unfortunately quite limited, because these derecognition decisions are policy driven. A group can't change a policy, nor can or should a group change their doctrinal basis, statement of faith. That is immutable. I mean, well, you know, if InterVarsity changed its doctrinal basis, then the doctrinal basis would change. But there is a collision course there, unfortunately. What a student group can do, however, is talk to administration before it becomes a crisis, before a derecognition decision. Highlight, for example, hey, this is a potential issue. This is the way it's been resolved at other universities. This is what the courts have said on this. Let's see if we can reach an accommodation. And that can be very helpful. What you don't want to do is wait until after a derecognition to open a dialogue, if at all possible. You want to open a dialogue before any kind of final decision is made, because what will then happen is, even if I'm not involved as a lawyer, or Ralph Thomas at InterVarsity is not involved, or senior InterVarsity leadership are not involved, even the mere act of a student leader or a staff worker approaching an administrator and saying, I think there might be a legal issue here, can often kick it upstairs to the university's own legal department. And if the university's legal department has been following the trends in the law, they'll know that there should be an accommodation. And so that's something that can head off a derecognition. Unfortunately, however, if the university chooses to dig in its heels, then there's almost nothing that can be done short of legal intervention. And by legal intervention, I don't necessarily mean a lawsuit. I can mean a demand letter, consultation between lawyers for both sides, actually heads off a crisis before a litigation all the time. But again, there is a conflict between the basic First Amendment rights of InterVarsity students and the actual policies that exist on most university campuses. There is just a conflict. And so there's always a potential for a derecognition in that circumstance. You know, I think one thing that is very important for Christian students to understand is that it is not un-Christian to challenge a loss of your most basic constitutional rights. It is not somehow being a... I've heard many Christians raise objections, saying, well, you know, that's, I'm not being very nice if I do that. I'm, you know, I'm not turning the other cheek. The Apostle Paul, when he was being beaten, said, wait a minute, stop. I'm a Roman citizen. And actually initiated the legal process that led all the way to Rome, during which he wrote much of the New Testament. And so, you know, to stop in many ways, what's a metaphorical beating, fortunately not actual beatings on our campuses that I've seen, but to stop having your rights taken away, is there's biblical precedent for that. And in fact, you can open up the campus for the gospel. You don't want the situation to be where every other point of view has free rein to speak and Christians don't. That's an intolerable situation. It's hard to see how the gospel is advanced there. Now, by saying that someone can and should file a lawsuit in any given circumstance is not license to walk around with an entitlement mentality or to treat people badly or to have a chip on your shoulder, in other words. Continue to maintain the Christian witness throughout, and you'd be amazed at the impact that it can have. And it can actually raise the visibility of the existence of your organization, the message of your organization. We've seen a lot of good fruit from casework and from actual cases being filed.